Kia ora, Bulavanaka, Talofa Lava, Halo, Kia orana, Halo Oketa, and a warm welcome to the Business Link Pacific podcast series. Business Link Pacific connects small and medium-sized businesses in the Pacific Islands region with local, quality business advice. Hosted by Barbara Wilkinson from Business Link Pacific, this podcast series showcases experienced professionals from our growing network. Business advice is more important now than ever before and is the key to business recovery. Join us as our guests share invaluable expertise and a unique view on doing business in the Pacific Islands.
Hello and welcome to the Business Link Pacific podcast series. I'm your host, Barbara Wilkinson. In this podcast, we talk to Paul Wendland, Deputy Director for Business Link Pacific. Paul is a senior financial sector and enterprise development consultant. He's been a consultant in microfinance and SME finance for nearly 20 years. He started his career working with rural credit and savings groups as a Peace Corps volunteer in Africa and has gone on to manage and direct SME finance programs in Pakistan, the Philippines, Iraq, and Afghanistan. Paul is here to discuss access to finance for SMEs in the Pacific Islands. Kia ora, Paul. Welcome to Business Link Pacific podcast. I hear you're dialing in from the Coromandel.
Yeah, that's right. I'm in the beautiful, partly sunny Coromandel on the East Coast.
Fantastic. So, hey, can you just tell us firstly, what do you do? What's your role at BLP?
I'm the Business Link Pacific Deputy Director. I've been with the program since July 2017, so just over 3 years. And I oversee the technical implementation and partnerships of the program. I help develop online tools and online services for small businesses in the Pacific. I support our in-country partners, which are the Chambers of Commerce and Employment Federations. I help conduct governance and help guide the program locally to tailor our services to businesses in the Pacific. I've been a consultant and project director focused on mostly microfinance and SME finance for about 20 years. I started as a Peace Corps volunteer in Africa and worked throughout Africa, Middle East, and South Asia before moving to the Pacific a few years ago.
Yeah, you've got quite a background, haven't you, in the finance sector? That's amazing. So right now, it's an absolute difficult time for SMEs in the Pacific Islands, particularly with the COVID-19 situation. What are you finding are the key challenges for them in terms of gaining access to finance?
Yeah, it is indeed a very challenging time right now for SMEs in the Pacific. COVID-19 has changed the playing field, I think, for everybody around the globe. But it's particularly acute, I think, for the Pacific, given the they say the tyranny of distance, but it's also the tyranny of the connected economies. And I think, particularly for finance, it's always been a struggle for small businesses to access finance around the world. And those challenges are just now even more acute. A lot of SMEs in the Pacific, to start with, lack consumer information. They lack basic information on what finance is available in the market in terms of, the types of financial services that can best help their business. I think a lot of people fail to understand that they are indeed consumers of financial services. They're not beholden to financial services and that they should be informed consumers. But there's a big information gap right now for small business. I think finance for SMEs is very intimidating. People think it's expensive. They don't think it's for them. They don't have access, physically to banks or finance companies. They don't have products that are well suited to them. They're not informed of what those products are. Many SMEs lack the documentation, the basic financial information, and even relationships with banks in which to access finance. They struggle to even get started. They don't have some of the basics that the banks are looking for, and they're not well prepared to develop that kind of information, including bank statements, financial statements, collateral and security, business history, business planning, etc. So those building blocks that banks and finance companies look for, SMEs are lacking those. SMEs also lack the information and the knowledge and how to best use finance to their advantage. SMEs typically will get out a loan, a working capital loan, or a business overdraft, but they don't use it to their most effective means. And tailoring that loan, tailoring that finance, tailoring that capital to their business cycles is really important. And they suffer as consumers from high costs, and that's always a bit of a challenge. SMEs also lack the collateral and security that banks and finance companies look for. And most of the time, that's property, land, what they call landed collateral. So movable assets like equipment and tools and other things that they do have access to are discounted by the banks as security. So you know, they lack that basic collateral that banks look for, or it's of low value. So therefore, their loans are not as strong as they could be, or they don't receive as much finance as they should be. And that's always a bit of a challenge.
Yeah, that's so true. And I suppose, in the Pacific, entrepreneurs, they're absolutely critical, really, aren't they? I know that in the Pacific, often there's not enough jobs to go around. So, you've got to be entrepreneurial to set up in business. And if you can't get access to finance, then, you're just not able to pursue your dream of setting up a business in the Pacific. So how do you think the COVID-19 crisis has further impacted SMEs? I mean, I assume, their risk management has suddenly tripled in importance.
Yeah, absolutely. It's so many of these businesses are financed on a shoestring. They're self-financed, or they're financed through friends and relatives. They may have been financed through investors or partners, or actually through bank loans initiated under finance from the bank. But a lot of them are self-financed. I've heard the analogy that many businesses in the Pacific, are obviously dependent upon tourism and the value chains that are associated with tourism. And it's as if someone came in and turned off the revenue tap. The planes just stopped landing. People just stopped turning up. There was no natural disaster in which to recover from. And there's no foreseeable end, which is really challenging for people to plan. In Fiji, for example, 38% of the GDP is in tourism, and that's 118,000 jobs. And that channels all through the local supply chains, agriculture, building, construction, cultural industries. The IFC, the International Finance Corporation, just published a pretty big study of the impact on tourism in Fiji as the market leader in the Pacific, and it's substantive, it's scary. I think so many SMEs are struggling to service debt and the finance that they already have. They're struggling to pay their loans. They're struggling to pay their debtors and suppliers. They're having to become much more efficient, much more quickly than they ever have before. They have to look for new sources of revenue, new sources of income, and they have to pivot away from their historical strong suit, which in many cases is tourism or associated industries, and find all new ways of making money. I think it's forcing businesses to be really creative in how they go about earning revenue, where they find sources of revenue, where they find customers, how they sell. It's all thrown into the mix. I think a lot of them are struggling.
Yeah, and certainly from my understanding, a lot of the Pacific Islands have been so dependent on the tourism sector, and now that's just been completely wiped away from them. But primary sectors, fishing, agriculture, they're also really important and great opportunities for Pacific Island countries. But in your experience, how do you find businesses in the Pacific able to sort of tap into those sectors and really, try and increase their activity from a primary sector point of view?
Yeah, I think that's a very important question. Governments around the Pacific are looking and incentivizing people to go into agriculture, construction, these primary industries more fully. And I think they've always been pushing in that direction because they want diversification. And some economies such as Samoa and even Vanuatu are a bit more diverse than economies such as Fiji. But they have abundant natural resources. They have, you know, strong manufacturing sectors. They have skilled labor. They have, you know, highly educated labor. And they have a diaspora. Even though travel has been interrupted, they have a diaspora from the Pacific in Australia, New Zealand, and North America and Europe in which to draw from. And I think people are looking more and more from the diaspora to help, you know, help support enterprises, help support families. But moving more into those primary industries is really crucial. People have the business skills and they have strong employment. But, you know, for example, a retail business that primarily sold to tourists can look at pivoting to supplying the domestic market for, you know, sundries and, you know, supplying different industries with products and et cetera, because the trade routes are still open necessarily. They're still shipping, they're still exporting, they're still importing, but there's just a lack of visitation.
Mm. And those remittances that you're talking about from the diaspora, you know, that for many of the economies in the Pacific, they're so important, and it's a bit of a double-edged sword in many ways, isn't it? I mean, on the one hand, that income is really important to those countries, but on the other, it's also a risk being so dependent on those remittances. So just thinking about loans for a moment, what do you think are the pros and cons of loans and opening up lines of credit for SMEs? And in this particular point in time, how do you think that needs to be managed?
Yeah, I think that's an important question. You know, as people, you know, are running into issues with funding from the diaspora and running funding from remittances. And, you know, that can only go on so long. And because the global economy is affected, everyone's affected. So those remittances will slow down. But I think getting working capital from banks, finance companies, and microfinance shouldn't necessarily be used to keep the business running and to pay business operations, because that's not really a sustainable model. It can be if they're expected to recover and they just need a little bit of extra cash flow to pay some debts and resurface some things. But really, businesses should be looking at those inherent risks of taking on new debt. Because so many businesses, are struggling to service debt, but looking at using those working capital loans and other government forms of government assistance to pivot their enterprises, revamp, retool, looking at generating new revenue, new sources of revenue, new markets, taking their businesses online, and streamlining the businesses, looking at efficiency measures. Unfortunately, that might mean, you know, reduced employment as they cut staff or become more efficient. But that's really what they should be looking at doing. I think, you know, working capital and finance can be very powerful. But from a project perspective, businesses should be looking at that as a project. You know, what am I going to be investing in? Because it's capital for investment. It's not capital to just run the day-to-day enterprise. They should be looking at investing in planning financially for a new business or an alternative business. Banks are going to be looking for that as well. They're going to be increasingly scrutinizing loan applications to look for that sort of thing. They're going to be looking at past revenue and how the business has been impacted by COVID-19. And, you know, in terms of the cons of taking on finance, I mean, the pros are, I think, important. And I think if people can access finance and they can use it constructively, it's really important. But, you know, the downsides of it is, you know, Belinda Botha, one of our recent advisors, pointed out is that, you know, any business that is in tourism should looking to do something else for the next 6 to 12 months, which is easier said than done in a lot of respects. A lot of tourism businesses are pretty locked into that business model. But it is an accurate and realistic statement given the current situation. But if small businesses can't service their current debt or having troubles with debtors and banks, you should be looking at debt reduction strategies around that, negotiating with suppliers, renegotiating terms with banks, and becoming more efficient before you elect to take on any additional debt or investment.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so really what you're saying is like that whole diversifying is absolutely critical, but, you know, acknowledge that there's some businesses that can't diversify, they're locked into what they do. So what are the other sort of things that they could do to prepare for their future financial success?
Yeah, that's a really important question. I think all businesses can look at some broad guidelines, some broad recommendations around this. And, you know, they want to diversify their current sales and customers. Even tourism businesses can look at domestic tourism, look at how to leverage their current resources. You know, they have facilities, they have kitchens, they have skilled staff, they have public, or they have a consumer training. There's a lot of things that they could do that aren't necessarily international tourism based that they can move to. You know, tapping into these new clients, these new customer bases. I think now is an important time for people to review their systems, upgrade their systems, look at new technology to help drive efficiency, tracking revenue and expenses and profit really, really closely. I think the time is now for people to be watching every penny. You know, upgrading and streamlining those systems, and be that in a new accounting system, or just generally upskilling themselves, learning new skills. You know, there's tons of online, you know, materials and free courses that people can take advantage of to become more efficient in business. People can use new technology to increase their efficiency. You know, in terms of preparing for future financial success, if people are looking to access a bank loan or access finance, they need to know going in what's going to be asked for, what's going to be needed for that investment. You know, how to present a very, very, very strong business case, that they're not just surviving, they're thriving, or they're at least stable. And educating themselves on financial services now for that future planning. Digital transformation is something that we've been encouraging as part of Business Link Pacific, and I think that's a strong avenue for people to look at. You know, I think people need to hybridize their business, look at multiple sources of revenue, splitting the business across different sources of revenue, different business activities. It may not be ideal, but it may be what's needed in order to survive. And I think people really need to take advantage of all of the resources that are available to them. So, you know, really going out and understanding what the governments are offering in terms of financial support. If they have bank loans, what the banks are offering in terms of financial support and how to renegotiate their relationship with the banks, how to access social services, how to, you know, look at their family for support. So that's, I think that's, you know, those are some things that people can do that are I think, very concrete, that I think would be useful.
No, sounds like great advice. And who are the organizations that SMEs can turn to in the Pacific? I mean, is it really just the banks, or are there other financial organizations that they can get advice from?
I think, you know, it's not just the banks, for sure. I mean, banks, you know, aren't necessarily set up to give people strong financial advice. I mean, there's tons of financial advising and financial management firms out there that can help people, from, you know, basic low-level advisors up to, you know, large accounting firms. Business Link Pacific's network in the Pacific is pretty vast now. We've got quite a few advisors, hundreds of advisors around the Pacific that people can work with. Going to the chambers of commerce, going to their employment federation, going to industry groups, even within their communities, and looking for strong professional advice. I think it's really important for people to get good professional advice from the experts. But, you know, BLP and our website and people's local chambers of commerce and are great places to start. Banks will only take you so far, and they can only give you basic financial advice and what they're looking for. But long-term planning, good financial planning, good cash flow management, looking at contingency planning now is a big part of it, and also looking at climate change and adapting to climate change is becoming so much more important. I think not just asking BLP and chambers, but you know, also turning to their other friends in business and seeing how people are behaving, how people are adapting, is also crucial.
Because this is also a great opportunity, isn't it, to start to address some of those climate change issues. I mean, we've been addressing them or trying to, but now more than ever, we need to really tackle that problem.
Yeah, absolutely. Climate change and inclusion as well is a big thing. So, how are people running their business? How are they recruiting? How are they getting access to good talent? It's really, really important. And becoming, more efficient enterprises and more diversified enterprises is really good for the long term. I think, unfortunately, it's at the result of, it's at the result of COVID-19 is so many of these businesses won't survive. And people will need to be looking for more employment. So those businesses that are employing are going to be, I think, swamped with good talent, hopefully.
Well, thanks, Paul. It's been absolutely great talking to you today. That's been so interesting. And I think you've provided us with some really great advice there on what to do with finance. So certainly, now is not necessarily the time to take on a new loan if you can't service that loan. But also on the opposite side of that, maybe it is an opportunity to start something new and get some finance for some new activity or new project that you want to embark on.
Yeah, absolutely. And the banks are going to be looking for people who are strong borrowers, because the banks, and this is something I want to emphasize to people as consumers of financial services. If you're a strong borrower and you're a strong client, the banks need you just as much as you need the bank. And you should be in a position of power with that bank to be able to get the finance that you need that's tailored to your business. So just remember that you are a consumer, and go in educated and with some power as a consumer is important.
And so some of those historic barriers that businesses have had, maybe they can leap over those barriers using the COVID-19 situation with additional support. Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. I think it's hard to see that now, but I think a lot of people will use this to their benefit. Especially the ones that survive, I think, will really become very strong enterprises and set themselves up for the future.
Oh, that's been fantastic. Thanks so much, Paul. I think you've raised some absolutely pertinent points today. And in summary, diversifying business is one of the key things that you can do as an SME at the moment with COVID-19. Taking on new technology, looking inwardly, looking at what you can do to improve your business. These are all key things that businesses can do right now. And if you are going to take on a new loan, making sure that it's focused on new projects, new things, if you can, rather than using debt for just general operations. I think you've offered some fantastic advice, and thanks very much for being with us today and sharing that.
Yeah, thanks so much for having me. I appreciate it.
Cool. Is there anything else you wanted to ask, wanted to add to that conversation?
No, I just want to thank you for the opportunity to speak today. And I just want to say how proud I am of the work that Business Link Pacific is doing to help enterprises in the Pacific. And we look forward to working with them to access capital and finance in the very near future.
Oh, that's great. Thanks so much for joining us. All the best.
Thank you. Thanks.
If you're not sure what type of advice you need, our free online essential business tools can help you identify where there may be gaps in your business that could benefit from quality business advice and support. From there, you can connect with the right business advisor for your needs. Visit businesslinkpacific.com and click on the Essential Business Tools tab to get started. Thank you for joining us for this Business Link Pacific podcast, and many thanks to Paul for sharing his insights and expertise today. Please join us for our next podcast, where we'll chat with another special guest from the Business Link Pacific Advisor Network. Until then, thanks for listening.
Stay connected with Business Link Pacific by following us on Facebook, Twitter, and LinkedIn. Business Link Pacific, connect your business with quality advice.